WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the football offseason, into the playoffs and Festivus season, almost Super Bowl. But lo and behold, baseball is right around the corner. I got a guy here who has, you can't see it, it's off camera, but he has a whole blackboard over there counting down the days and the minutes until that first grapefruit pitchers and catchers report. Pitchers and catchers report is its own sort of baseball thing, right? That's we use that about 90 days out. Luke Jones is here. He has been stuck in the mud, up the purple mud of Owings Mills the last 6 months, chasing the Ravens around, and Lamar Jackson, although not that much longer, you'll have to chase him. I know he is fast, but it is baseball season. And Luke, I know it's baseball season because John Angelos told me so on Martin Luther King Day. How are you, man?
Doing well. And I hope you're not waiting for signs from John Angelos. You don't hear from him that often, so you would miss a few seasons most likely. But
yeah,
you
say pitchers and catchers reporting to that one. So yeah.
Right, right. Well, it was the same as locker cleanout day for the Ravens, so I had to make a executive choice there. But you mentioned pitchers and catchers, and you know, there's reason to be excited about the Orioles in terms of the young guys and the finish to 2022 and Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and eight guys in Baseball America's top 100 are Orioles prospects. Seven of them are at AAA or close or already in the majors in the case of Henderson. There are things to be excited about. And then you look at this offseason and it's been very, at best, incremental improvement at a couple spots. And then, lo and behold, John Angelos making an announcement for, in all seriousness, we'll get to the ugliness and the embarrassing part of this in just a moment, because that's the big headline, but a donation of a $5 million commitment to the College Bound Foundation to help Baltimore kids and kids going to college. And I mean, it's a great thing. It's a good thing. Something that does deserve some recognition. But when you call a press conference to announce something like that, and you have spoken to the media so very rarely, there is always an understanding, especially when it's sent out to your reporters, your media who cover the team. There is always an expectation that there is going to be some baseball business-related questions that are going to go with that. It's kind of a, hey, we'll come out and cover this, but we're also going to have some other questions. So that was not out of bounds. You know, Dan Connolly asking what he did was hardly out of bounds if you understand how this stuff works. But certainly John Angelos' reaction to that, I mean, at best, a bad look. I mean, that's the kindest way you could kind of portray what happened there. But, you know, just embarrassing. And it really did soil what was a good thing. And it would have been very easily for John Angelos to simply say, hey, Dan, you've covered the Orioles a long time. I respect that. I understand you have questions, and I haven't been available a whole lot of late. But out of respect for this forum, can we wait until after this is over, and then I'll talk to you guys on the side? That would have been so much better way of handling this that wouldn't have gotten any attention from a negative standpoint, right? You wouldn't have seen national outlets and national reporters picking up on this, you know, regardless of what he had said after the fact. But you know, when you go on to then lecture a reporter for, what was it, 3-4 minutes, whatever it was, I mean, we've all seen the video where it's just flat out uncomfortable watching it. Well, you completely soil what should have been a good PR day for the Orioles, and instead everyone's talking about the lack of leadership from, you know, the point man for your organization.
I saw the window to his soul, right? I mean, literally sitting there, like, I've never had a conversation with that guy, and I used to see him sit behind home plate. The one time I waved him to come over to do the show, he didn't do the show. Sid Thrift was the GM at the time, so I guess it would maybe make it 97, 8, 9, somewhere in there. This was after the two good-looking boys comment to the Evening Sun. I'm going to re-release the Peter Principles because I literally wrote the history. I lived the history. I was on the radio every single day. I had to react in the newspaper to all the wacky stuff his father did, how he behaved. The Cal Ripken night where he took a 14-minute speech and got booed so much that Frank Robinson had to grab him, and they never show that when they show the Masson night. So the behavior of this family on the record, off the record, behind closed doors, what Frank Wren would tell me about in 1997, what Johnny Oates would tell me about looking beleaguered because he called down and said, you know, play Gomez or bench Gomez. We want Sabo to play, you know, like crazy stuff that happened through all the time. And even crazy stories about John Angelos that I know are true, and his youth and in the family, out of the family, running things, selling the radio rights off to the FM and pissing off dad. And then dad wants it back on the AM because dad's 100 years old. And like all of the infighting with their family, the poor treatment they gave Mike Flanagan, up all these people, right? All of this, all you want, all the sycophants like Moeller ever preached to me was give him a chance. Give him a chance. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been seeing that cat for 30 years. And I remember Sid said to me, Sid came over and did the show, right? And John was on like a golf cart or like something like on the back fields in Fort Lauderdale. It was 7:22 in the morning. The sprinklers were out. Nobody was around. Nobody. There's no fans. Stadium's not open. It's 59 degrees. We're wearing sweaters, drinking coffee. Sun's coming up. It's Florida. We're selling optimism for the baseball team. I got my ass out of bed with a crew at 5 in the morning to be down there broadcasting. And he waved me off. I said, John, you want to come over and, you know, do some radio and get to know us a little bit? I got the papal wave in an empty stadium with like a groundskeeper, somebody, you know, with a rake. And I said to Sid, I'm like, what's wrong with that dude? You know, this is the 29-year-old version of me. He's my age. It's not like, you know, he's here and I'm here. And it was very obvious the level of arrogance that was involved and the Dundalk versus Gilman and like all of that that would be in my mind at that time. And Sid Thrift says to me, Nesta, he's an introvert. He's introverted. You know, he's just to himself. He's, you know, he's quiet and he's trying to learn the game, but he's an introvert. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's all the information I ever got from him. But then he ran Masson, lots of people around town. He was always talking about money and business dealings and all of that. Some people said really good things about him. Bright, with it, knows things, connected to the game, going to be different than his father. I've had people pitch that to me. So I hear it. And I don't know him, right? I don't know him. I've made overtures. I saw Lou Angelos at a charity event a couple 7-8 years ago. My wife might have still been a blonde. It might have been 10 years ago. But I'm never where they are. They don't live here. I was in John Angelos' presence at the Preakness 4 years ago. He wasn't talking to most anybody. I was talking to anybody that wanted to come by, but it was very social. I didn't talk to him. He knew who I was. It was very clear. He looked at me and didn't want any part of me. And then I asked him that question 3.5 years ago at the tourism event, much different than Connolly, but not different because they threw questions to the crowd. The question after mine was a lady who just said to him, literally her question was, Luke, I'm not even paraphrasing. She said, what's wrong with my Orioles? That was the question to her, to him. After my question about, are you moving the team? And he got the Rockets red glare and the Fort McHenry and as long as the flag is. So I'm the one that even asked that last question ever asked of him about the franchise publicly. I think Locke and Forrest sat down with him a couple years ago, but like, if he's sitting down with you, you're intimidated to sit down with him because there's only so much you can ask or say or bring up history. As Dan Connolly found out, I would just say this, that display in front of the world with the camera on, looking over at the mayor and staring the mayor down, it was just despicable, disgraceful, less than professional, less than hospitable, less than human, less than decent, less than community oriented, way less than honest, because I mean, he made promises he's made, you know, checks he's not going to cash. And it just really, really speaks to, he would have a long way to go to live it down, right? Like, he calls a press conference next week, opens the books legitimately, greets me and you and anybody else that were journalists at the door, not people he thinks are journalists, people who think they're journalists, and turns the new leaf, you know, whatever. But finds a new beginning, gets sober, finds Jesus, whatever the turning point, sees the light, turns the page, starts doing things differently, whatever that phrase would be. If that were to happen, he'd have a long way to go to say that that's not the guy he is. You know what I mean? Because that's the guy he is now and forevermore until he changes it. And I had Tom Levero on in the aftermath, Luke, and Tom's pretty convinced that they're closer to the end than the beginning now. And Tom's monitored this as a journalist at the Baltimore Sun in the 80s, right? So Daniel Snyder looks like they're finally getting rid of him, right? So I mean, imagine if Snyder and Angelos both go out of here and you're a guy in Bowie with stuff in both closets. But for me with the Angelos thing, like, he's not even the owner of the team. He's a team representative. He's the son, but he's not even the owner of the team. And the weirdest part was what snapped in his brain at that moment to think that he's doing something that would not come without consequences. You know what I mean? Because there's never a consequence. I think that's really the lesson to be learned here. Much like Chad Steele taking my credential, or Steve Bisciotti doing whatever he wants, or Dan Snyder, who literally the consequence, if he doesn't go to jail, he's made $2 billion more by not selling the team in August or by not getting chased out early. The longer he hangs in, he's adding up billions of dollars he'll get to walk with. So I don't know that he's even really a loser. But in the end, these really wealthy guys, I did not understand this when I did Free the Birds in 2006. I did not understand. I understood what I was up against institutionally. I did not really understand what I was up intellectually. Intellectually, that look from John Angelos would get anyone in any business fired. Like, you could not do that if you ran a hospital, pick any of our sponsors, a beer company. You couldn't get away with it if you were a politician, because people wouldn't vote for you. So I don't know at what point in his life this is an acceptable behavior. But clearly he has no daddy now, and mommy's on his side. Just ask his brother and all the lawyers around them. It's gross. So there's my monologue on it. It was just gross. And to think in my mind, that could have been you, that could have been me. But if it was me, it's just because I'm a dick and I'm a jerk and I'm a bad guy. And the Ravens threw me out. Like, they seek to vilify media people. The vilification and the attack on Dan Connolly because his badge said press on it was disgraceful. And if Dan, and I don't know Dan, I mean, you know Dan, I don't really know Dan. I've spoken to Dan once. I was very kind to Dan in the press box when Major League Baseball credentialed me at the DC All-Star game a couple years ago. And I saw him on workout day and I had a nice chat with him. And I really, I mean, he works with Jack Gibbons, who is the reason you're here and the reason I'm here. Jack Gibbons is our godfather, you know, and I love Jack, and Jack worked with Baltimore Baseball. My position with the Orioles has made many people like Dan Connolly and even Jeff Srebeck in the early days not necessarily friendly toward me, because nobody was allowed to be friendly toward me with the baseball team because that guy was their boss. And I think the more of that happens, the more understanding I have about it, because, like, I didn't think he would ever do something like that to Dan Connolly. You know, like, I thought he would do that to me, but I didn't think he would do that to Dan Connolly. I thought that was just, it was an insane move, because I don't, Dan Connolly's going to get support from I mean, I've heard from three PR directors in the last 2 days, Luke, you know, people that worked in baseball, and they're like, I can't believe that happened to Dan Connolly. And I don't, and Dan's reaction was, I read what he wrote at the Athletic, but it worries me for reporters. You work for me and I send you into that environment. How can I accept them treating my employee that way? How can we as fans accept them treating Dan this way? And the same way in 2006, I pleaded, how can you accept them throwing me out? Like, this should not be acceptable. It shouldn't be acceptable on either side. But this is a full color picture as to why these cats don't come in front of people, because they are really thin skinned and they're really egotistical and they're really out of touch.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it really is a reflection of how they treat people beneath them. And that doesn't mean that Dan Connolly or anyone you just mentioned is actually beneath them, but from their perception,
everyone is beneath
them. Why? Well, and
especially the people
reason
that work
why
for
they
them.
feel that. Well, the reason why they feel that way is they have no one to answer to. I mean, even the state government, I mean, getting ready to give both
$600
the
million.
Angelos family and Steve Bisciotti $600 million. And look, that's not beating up on the state of Maryland, or that happens everywhere. I mean, that's the cost of doing business, of having professional sports in your city. I mean, that's
And the cost of having
right or
media is
wrong.
having
And
people like you and me ask them, what are you going to do with the money? What are you
sure
doing with our
sure
money? And they don't even answer that. Sasha Brown and Chad Steele showed up in Annapolis. Steve didn't even show up to take the check. You know, like, so because he doesn't want questions from Pam Wood. Why is the state giving you $600 million? They gave him a rebate on what he paid for the team. I mean, we're in a different place when we're treating these people like they're gods. I mean, dude, you own the Orioles. If we can't ask you what your plan is, then maybe I shouldn't be a fan of the Orioles. I mean, literally.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, and that's really, I mean, you just made the point, and I was talking to someone about this, and I'm pretty sure you've said this. I mean, it just so comes off as acting like you hit a triple when you were born on third base, if you're John Angelo. So, and I've heard that from two different people over the course of the last few days. But I want to go back to what you just said. Look, at the end of the day, I've had this argument with you so many different times when we start diving into the business side of the ugliness, behind the scenes, behind the curtain, when it comes to pro sports, how a large segment, a large portion of fans, quite frankly, they don't care about that. And I don't mean that they're not smart enough to understand it. That's not what I'm implying at all. It means that they have their own lives and this is leisure.
But then
You
when
and
they
I do
come to
this as our life.
me or Dan Connolly, who said to John Angelos, I study, this is what I do for a living, John. Don't insult me. Don't treat me like I'm not one of those fans who doesn't pay attention. I do pay attention because the state just gave you $600 million. And and then it's these people, Luke, at this time, that bubble up on Twitter and want to talk about Lamar's contract situation when they don't even know what the salary cap number is. By the way, he did a really nice job on that salary cap piece for the offseason and with the Ravens on Monday, but or on Thursday, I should say. But if you don't know, tune into people like us who do know once in a while, and we'll tell you what's really going on, which is why I'm re-releasing the Peter Principles for people that didn't live it. But it is amazing to me. I agree with you. 10% of the sports fans care about the business, but the 90% rattle off idiocy and inaccuracies in regard to the Masson money and the DC deal, which is why I bring Marty Conway and Tom Lavero and you, but you would say they know more than you do because you focus on the field. But the demeanor he had with Connolly about asking business, you're not, you're a toy department. You don't ask me business questions. Who is qualified to ask about the business? That's what I would ask, If it's not you and me,
Well,
who is it?
and when there's no transparency, it just makes it that much more difficult. But the point I was making was more so fans don't, a large segment of fans care about the product on the field, right? They don't even care that much about who's covering the team. Like, they'd say, okay, well, that's lousy that they treated them that way. But think about this, just if you are in La La Land, just all about the team on the field, don't really care about anything behind the scenes. Yeah, Mike Elias is the general manager, but that's kind of the extent of it. The Angelos family has owned the team because they have since 1993, but that's kind of the extent of your interest in it, because you have 25 other things that are way more important going on in your life. But you like baseball, you're a baseball fan, and you like when the season starts in April, and you watch quite often until the end of September. Think about how few headlines the Orioles have made this offseason. Adam Frazier signing, a Kyle Gibson signing, Michael Givens is back. Great. You hear about Baseball America, more prospects. Great.
They're having a winter carnival in a couple of weeks.
They
I
are
saw
going to have
that.
a caravan in a few weeks. Great. Good. However, this is one of those rare times when your point man, your CEO, not the owner, but part of the Angelos family who owns the team, comes out from the woodwork to actually be a public figure and to speak. And that's how he portrays himself. You are not, regardless of the poor treatment of Dan Connolly or any other journalist, and what that entails and what that means, and talking about that from our perspective and from fans who do pay attention and consume more of that part of it. It's just an awful message in terms of recruiting people. I mean, if you're talking, I mean, here's a perfect example. My high school friends that I have a text message chain with, you know, we've been talking about it for weeks, and they're constantly asking me about Lamar or the Ravens. Well, last August and September, they were talking about baseball a good bit. They were talking about the Orioles a good bit. They
For the
were
first time
excited
since you were in
about
your
it.
20s.
For the first, no, not that long ago, but the first time since
Well, I still think of you as
2016, let's say.
32, so I'm sorry, you
Right,
know.
right. So no, I appreciate that because I'm 39, but the point is, there's been nothing this winter that's recruited people. I mean, nothing. And look, Kyle Gibson, there's a good chance I think he'll be better than Jordan Lyles. And Adam Frazier, do I think he'll be better than Rougned Odor? Sure. And do I think Michael Givens can help their bullpen? Sure. But are any of those guys really moving the needle in the way that going out, and I'm just using this as an example, not saying I would have done it, and we've seen how it's played out, but if the Orioles had signed Carlos Correa, for example, and he had passed the physical, which would have been a big if,
Would they have
based on
signed him the
how.
first time, the second time, or the third time?
Right,
Which one would they have
exactly.
signed?
Maybe the Orioles were the cleanup hitter in that endeavor, but the point is, you haven't done anything to recruit people from a baseball standpoint this offseason in terms of doing anything new. Now, you're still selling Adley Rutschman and you're still selling Gunnar Henderson, and that's great. And look, there's still excitement, there's still optimism, and there's still hope and positive feelings about this team from a baseball standpoint.
All
But
I
let's
hear
not
is Peter
pretend.
Angelos's voice saying, "Luke, we have enough good ball players. We have
Well,
enough
but
stars."
that's the whole. Right, but my whole point is, you know, instead of striking while the iron is hot, they're continuing this, you know, very incremental. Oh, are we really truly ready to be serious about contending in the AL East? They're still carrying out the 5-year plan. And look, I don't think that's Mike Elias. I think that's ownership. I think that's ownership not wanting to spend money. So with that understanding, with that thought, if you're just a baseball fan and not really diving deep into the lease or the future of the team or ownership or the Angelos family legal battle that's ongoing,
Don't forget the
you
Masson
see
money
Johnny.
because that was the
Sure,
thing that
of course,
saved them.
that's a massive part of it. Of course it is.
Yeah.
We'll continue to be until it's not. I
As
mean, that's what.
well as that has gone down, the Major League Baseball fund money has gotten bigger from
Sure.
their media deal. So it is sort of offset, but empty seats are empty seats. Empty skyboxes are empty skyboxes.
Sure.
Corporate sales being down in a depleted market. Like all of that is real for their economics. So I'll hear the economic thing of they don't have a ton of money. Like daddy's dying, the law firm's broke. The brothers are fighting. I mean, the thing is a freaking mess, which
Right.
is why we have so many questions and we sit around here. And then who can we ask to get real answers if we can't ask him?
Right. Exactly. So you have that entire mess that even if you're talking about a certain segment of your fan base isn't dwelling on that because they don't have enough time to really follow that and they don't care because they're not thinking about that in January. You still have John Angelos come out into a public forum on Martin Luther King Day. Do this really cool thing that should be something that, hey, that's pretty cool. The Orioles are doing that. $5 million investment, helping Baltimore City kids, you know, get education and go to college. That's awesome. That should be something that should be really positive. And he completely, by his own accord, because Dan, it's not as though Connolly asked anything out of bounds. He asked about the ownership of the team and the future of the team. If you're talking about your family and your organization and your franchise investing in Baltimore, it's a natural question to ask when it's very, very public that there's a legal battle going on within the family, and to ask about their future owning the Orioles and to tie in the lease, which until it's resolved is still an issue, no matter how many times they say the Orioles are saying. Staying until it's signed and official, it's still there. So these are all natural questions that are tied into that. And John Angelos then, on Martin Luther King Day, mind you, then chose to bully someone. Wow, that's a great way to recognize the holiday, right? I mean, it's just it's an awful, awful look. It's a sign of someone who, quite frankly, doesn't really get it in terms of what position he's in and what that should mean. And as I'll go back to kind of the original point I was making, the Orioles have made so few headlines this winter to excite anyone to bring people back to the ballpark. And then your chairman makes this headline? Boy, let me reach for my credit card right now to go on the team website and buy tickets. I
Well,
mean,
it's left
it's
no
more,
doubt
it's.
as to what kind of man he really is. You know what I mean? Like, I wondered. The reason I told those stories is 31 years I've been on the radio from the beginning, before the family got in. I've been in a room with him five or six times. I know a lot of people that know him, and I've never had any particular animus. I even thought at one point, like, when the old man's gone, maybe I'll be back in. We're the same age. Maybe he's a decent guy. Maybe somebody will drive away. I never did anything to him or his brother or his mother or really to his father, quite frankly, that wasn't done to me first, which was they lied to people. They were serially dishonest. That's the Peter principles. The Peter principles are they are liars. Peter lied to everybody about everything, bullied everybody and everything. He hated everything he didn't control. He abused everything he did control. And this is his offspring. And we all thought maybe he'll be a little bit different, you know? By the way, did you see the story about McDaniel's wife saying that Jim Irsay was in their house? And that's the reason he didn't take the Colts job was because the owner was in their house and she's like, you can't work for this man. There's no way we're going to work for this man. And the John Angelos videos out there now, other than TJ Brightman and I guess Matt Dreyer and, you know, Marco Gentile and a handful of other people who work for him, I'm thinking to myself, who's working for him? Like all of the Masson people work for him, Rock, all those people. And I'm thinking to myself, this is your guy, you know, this is his coming out party. And everybody that told me things are going to be different, he give the boys a chance. And all I hear is Sid Thrift's, he's just an introvert. He's a nice, mm-hmm. He's just an introvert. And I'm thinking to myself, no, he's a pit bull. He's born on third. All of the silver, I mean,
right.
Every negative, purgative thing you could possibly say about the rich kid, there it was on display. And in the worst possible way, because it was directed at you and me too. It was directed at anybody who would dare ask him a question.
Well,
you know, I mean, that's really where it's at. I mean, and that's disgraceful.
Well, and again, I'm stepping away from just talking about it as a media member because fans aren't media members. This is just you're speaking when you speak to the media. That by extension is you're speaking to your fan base. And when you have spoken so little, I mean, think about it. And this is where I go back to the fall of 2018 when they hired Mike Elias. John and Lou Angelo sat up there with Mike Elias and they took questions and I asked them a question. I think I asked them about Brady Anderson's involvement in the organization at the time. And we found out Brady faded away and was no longer with them a few months later. But there was hope at that point in time that things were going to be different. Not that it was going to, I don't think anyone thought it was going to be perfect.
By the way, if you love Brady, Brady's team Lou.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
It is interesting who,
yes.
Because anybody that's team John pisses on Lou in my presence. Like it is a thing that you have to pick a side at this point, right? Like literally everybody I know has a side on it, but Brady is interestingly team Lou. And that just that, you know, Brady was a strong headed, you know, sane guy for the most part. I didn't always agree with Brady, but Brady went the other direction.
Right. Right. But I mean, the point I was trying to make though, is in November of 2018, when that happened, I mean, it's the first time I'd asked a question to Orioles owner, you know, part of the Angelos family. I mean, Peter Angelos spoke oh so briefly since I started covering the Orioles in 2010. You know, in the post-game locker room at Yankee Stadium after Game 5 of the Division Series in 2012, Peter did step foot in the locker room, answered.
I remember that night.
Minutes,
I was waiting
2 minutes
for you
worth
outside.
Of questions.
You came outside. You're like, Peter Angelos spoke. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and for someone like me, and I was 29 years old at the time and, you know, grew up an Orioles fan and Peter bought the team when I was 10 years old. You know, there was this, you know, I don't want to say aura because that usually, you know, that would imply a positive association, but it was very, for me, it was very odd seeing him in person up close like that. I mean, that's how little visibility he had had. You know, at that point, that was only my third season covering the team. But I did not have another interaction with ownership until 2018. And at that point in time, you know, John or Lou, I can't remember which one it was, but one of the boys said at the time that, you know, they planned to be more accessible and more available. Well, we've seen how it's worked out 4+ years later. One of the rare times, you know, and there's been, you know, there was a Zoom last year. He was part of a press conference when they announced, I think, the Billy Joel press conference or concert in 2019, the press conference for that. But it's been
McCartney. Did he show up at McCartney or did he not?
I don't think he was there for that. In all,
Okay.
I was not there for that press conference, so I don't want to say that I was there and taking attendance, but I don't recall him
I just
being
remember
there.
they held the McCartney jersey up and it said 22 on it, and I'm thinking, what does Jim Palmer think?
Yeah. Right,
I'd
exactly.
never seen a 22 with anything else on it.
Well, that was like Lamar having a number 8 a few years back when he threw out the first pitch. But no, it's one of those rare times where he had a chance to show his leadership, and instead he showed his lack of leadership in that spot. Again, it would have been so simple to just say, Dan, I understand you have questions about the business side of the franchise. Out of respect for this forum on Martin Luther King Day and the announcement we're making and with the mayor being right here, can we wait until after this is over? I'll talk to you guys off to the side. That would have been perfectly fine. That would have been a perfectly acceptable, reasonable way to handle that out of respect for the announcement they were making with the $5 million investment. But to not only take exception with it, but then to go on and lecture for a few minutes, which hilariously included asking Dan Connolly if he was from here, which, okay, Dan lives in York now, and that's like me, but he's a Baltimore guy. Like, he's a local guy. He's been here his whole life. You know, he lives in York
I'm
now.
I'm guessing that Dan Connolly's never talked to John in his life then, right? Like, I mean, like, for him to act that
I
way,
don't know that.
That there's no relationship. I always thought that those guys
in terms
knew
of like a –
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
In terms of like a one-on-one type of, you know, where he's ever had an exclusive or anything like that, I would guess not then. I mean, you never know. And again, we're talking about someone who's out of touch. You're not getting to know people. So maybe he has, maybe he had forgotten, or maybe he never asked because he didn't care in previous interactions. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, just hilarious to hear that from someone that, yes, has a residence in Baltimore. That is not the same as living here, as he claimed living here every day of his life. And I mean, come on, man. I mean,
well, this
hilarious.
Goes back to what pissed me off and got me sideways and led to Free the Birds. They lied about everything for 15 years, and I couldn't take it anymore. And the stadium emptied out, and I did Free the Birds because they lied about me. They assaulted me and lied about me, and then they didn't pay their bill to my company. So, like, I that's how I was treated in 2004 and 5 and 6 when I was helping them sell tickets. So, like, all that being said, I love baseball. My name's Aparicio. I want it to be better. I believe it can be better. I believe, God, this thing where the Washington football team's going to get sold, it almost like gives me a smidge of hope that there will be life after this here in some other way. But, you know, in the meantime, we'll just watch football all weekend long like we usually do, and get ready for a Super Bowl and get ready for – I mean, I can't believe you went out just 30 minutes without talking. We didn't – you only said Lamar once, and it had to do with Cal Ripken, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I already said, and just my final thought, there is a lot I like about the baseball side right now. But unfortunately, one of the rare opportunities all offseason that John Angelos and the Orioles had to – recruit people. Well, you got that. Again, forget about the media treatment and all that, all the other elements of that that you and I take much greater exception to than Joe Average fan, who, you know, is a consumer and a fan as much as he wants to be because he's got a million other things going on in his life. He came out of the woodwork, and that's how he presented himself. That's how he presented his organization. Boy, that's not recruiting people to the ballpark, that's for sure.
Well, and then there's the baseball side of Mike Elias and the questions about whether he's getting out of contract at this point, which we'll discuss later. But, like, there is no transparency. You know what I mean? There is no honor. There is no trust. We go back to big trust, and we go back to what's broken Lamar up with the Ravens is they don't trust each other, right? So, like, there, you know, you and I have had trust for 15 years together as partners in doing this. Trust, you know, you lose trust one time, and there's a problem. He sat there and lied to everyone, and they're going to roll the ball out on April 6th, and people will come and spend money. There came a point for me back in 2006 where I couldn't take it anymore, and it was because of this. And it's 17 years later, and it's still this. And when people would say, is it getting better? I would always say, I hope. But I don't have any confidence. And now, like, as it gets better, we're now 6 months into the general manager saying, it's go time. He spent no money. I don't think he can be real happy. He's a competitive guy, Mike Elias. That I would say, for all of this, I would have said to you, and I would have been the jerk, Have you seen their leadership? They'll F it up. You know, in the end, their leadership will screw this up because they're not leaders. Because at the heart, John Angelos, not a good person, not a people person, not a leader of men. He's never led anything. He's born on third, thinks he had a triple. And this is what you get. And I don't know how you put your brand next to it. I don't know how you get a sponsorship. I don't know how you buy an Orange Club, VIP, Gold Club. I mean, you love baseball, but you know this is behind it. And I don't know how, if you're sentient, you can have confidence. It's a confidence issue. And that's something that Steve and Eric and John are going to have to deal with everybody who loves Lamar. But, you know, because Lamar's going to be gone and we're going to have Derek Carr or, you know, what a Tyler Heinicke, or we're going to have something like that, or a CJ Stroud, something, right? There's going to be something else and they're going to have to sell it to the fans. You know what I mean? And they're going to have to be nicer than they've been to me and everybody else, I think. Luke, I appreciate you, man. I know you're watching football this weekend. I know we got a lot going on, monitoring stuff. Appreciate you. It was a great conversation.
Absolutely. And hey, pitchers and catchers do report in a few weeks. And yes, I'm looking forward to it. Baseball and spring. You know, this cold weather, you know, as I get older, not all about
You know, you could talk me into spring training, right? I haven't been on a
There
plane.
you go.
I haven't been on a plane in like 7 months. Like, you could sell me on me and you at Yoder's Amish Market down in Sarasota. You could sell me on that. You could.
There you go. There you
Luke
go.
Jones, he is a Baltimore Luke. He is in Owings Mills and a little bit on respite, waiting for spring training and waiting for the shoe to drop out in Owings Mills with Greg Roman and other things. If it happens first, it'll happen on the WNST Tech Service, all brought to you by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford. I'm wearing my Coons shirt right now. Dennis is here from 3 until 5 on Thursdays and again on Sunday morning. And I was loquacious about John Angelos with him as well. It's baseball season. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.